just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday evening. A very good evening to you, and welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with Leah on MKFM, where we dedicate an entire hour on the first Sunday of every single month to talk openly and provide a little bit of a safe space for us to discuss a variety of mental health topics, as well as share expert practical advice. As always, I'm joined in the studio by John Manning from Arthur Ellis. Hello, John.
Good evening.
Good
Leah.
Evening. Good How evening. Are you?
All right, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. And we're also joined in the studio by Ronish, who is the founder of MoneyHeave. Hello, Ronish.
Hiya.
Lovely to have you with us this evening. So we are going to be talking about financial well-being, which, it being January and everybody kind of getting over the Christmas spend.
It's the struggle month.
It is the struggle month. It's the month that's like, trying to get into the year. So we are going to be talking about finances, and I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation based on what we've been talking about off air. But before we get into all of that, John, if people don't know about Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and the great work that you do in the community, can you tell us a bit about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a variety of different things. Mainly we run a one-to-one service for the community in Milton Keynes. We see about 2,000 people a year or so, any age, so from the age of 8 onwards. We've got about 30 different practitioners of different disciplines, so we focus on not having any thresholds, any waiting lists. If you need some help, we're here when you need us. So that's all supplemented by some corporate work we do. So we work with businesses, running training programs and those sorts of things. And something that's quite exciting that's new to Arthur Ellis is an online platform. We've noticed that lots of people either get signed off work and then just go and sit at home for 2 weeks or so. We want to encourage people to use that time to improve. So we've developed a system, a learning system called Evon, E-E-V-O-N. And that's where people can go learn and develop well-being plans for themselves, their families, learn about emotional skills. And it's quite new. So we're looking for people to test it, give us some feedback, make it better, grow it, and get more people accessing that level of support.
Fantastic. And can they access that through your website?
Absolutely, yeah. Even if you just want to read up on it a little bit, you can go to our website. There's a tab on the top that says Evon, and you can go find out all about it.
Brilliant. And remind us what your website is, John?
ArthurEllisMHS.com.
Brilliant. Okay. And we're also joined in the studio this evening by Ronish, who is the founder of MoneyHeave. Tell us a bit about MoneyHeave and a bit about your background, Ronish.
Sure. And thank you both for having me.
No, thank you for joining us.
No worries. So basically, in a nutshell, what we do at MoneyHeave is we break down the complexities of personal finance. So if, for example, you found yourself in debt, or you want to start building your savings, or you just want to build your credit score, just learn more about personal finances, that's exactly what our organization does. We started our organization in 2020, and we've worked with different organizations and different councils, and currently we're actually working with Milton Keynes Council. So we're working with residents within the community and just helping them to boss up financially. So really proud of this program, and it's been great to work with residents and just see their progression. As we know, money's not typically taught in schools, so for me it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I want us to normalize these money conversations. So I'm very honored and excited to be here.
No, and like you say, it's so important to be having these conversations, because money is one of those subjects that is really taboo, and no one wants to talk about the money that they earn, or the debt that they might be in, or the anxieties that you might have surrounding that. So these conversations are going to be really, really interesting.
I really like the term boss up as well.
I love that as
well. That was really good.
Very nice. So we're going to be continuing this conversation and finding out about the relationship between mental health and financial well-being next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, as always, we're joined in the studio by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Ronish from MoneyHeave. So we were just hearing about the great work that you're doing with Milton Keynes Council, Ronish. Tell us a bit about how you started MoneyHeave and a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, sure. So my background is in finance. I went to university, I studied there, and then I went off and worked in industry and just kind of worked my way up through various roles I've held, such as a commercial accountant, to a reporting accountant, to being a finance manager. And before I set up my business, I also worked in the film and TV industry on film sets. So I guess whilst working, and even in my personal life, I saw how little friends and even colleagues knew about personal finance. And I just felt when I was working that I was kind of like just at a desk crunching numbers. I wanted to do something more impactful, more meaningful. So I kind of went on this journey of, you know, I like finance, I've spent a lot of time in it, but what is it that I really like about finance? And I just kind of wanted to work with individuals more. And I saw a gap. I saw that money wasn't taught and there needed to be something because people don't know it. And I guess for me, whilst I was at uni, I was just given some money and I was just expected to get on with it. And also for me, that's where the debt started. And then when I started working, I had to get myself out of that. And so I feel like the service that we provide supports individuals because it's, again, it's just something you're expected to know. But how would you know this if you're never taught, if you're never shown? So that's kind of how it kind of started. And literally, I remember being part of a community group and someone put in there that they needed some help with their finances. And I literally just offered. I just said, oh, sure, I can help you. And we got on the phone and they were like, you know, I need help with building my credit score. I'm a pharmacist, but I just can't seem to get out of debt. And I was like, oh, I can help you with that. And yeah, it just kind of grew from there.
That's quite a big thing for somebody to do, because I can't imagine if I was struggling, and this is where the mental health element comes in, really. Like, I wouldn't put into a community group.
Yeah.
So that must show that obviously you're part of some really good community groups.
Yeah, definitely.
But also that people are willing to take that step and have those conversations.
Yeah, and I definitely, as part of that month, it was to put something that in the group that you were putting off. And for that person, right, they were putting off their personal finances. And yeah, I just kind of thought, you know what? I knew I could help them. And yeah, we just jumped on a call. And that's kind of how it started. I did a good job and they just kept recommending me.
And the thing is, you're so right. People we don't know anything about finances. Yeah. We're not taught about these things at school. Mm. And money ends up being one of the most important things that you have to learn to know how to deal with as an adult. It's Absolutely. One of those things that you have to get a grasp on. And I find myself constantly like on YouTube looking at tutorials or looking at Martin Lewis for his money saving expert tips. Because
that's great.
But we're not taught that stuff. And actually, to have an expert here this evening that can help us with some kind of practical tips later on in the show is really, really beneficial. But like you were saying, John, there's a lot of correlation with the mental health side of it and finances, isn't there?
Absolutely, especially for families. Like, if you've got children that you're looking after, so Milton Keynes as a whole has about 29.8% in the last figures. It was just under 30% child poverty rate.
Gosh.
So 30% of the children in Milton Keynes are living in poverty. And from a parental perspective, there's a massive elements of guilt that goes into that, shame. Like, this isn't anyone's aim to get their children into an impoverished environment. So there's a big concern, and we've spoken about it in relation to safeguarding before as well, of is it going to be looked at like the parents are doing something wrong and there's like neglect and things like that that can be mentioned. But generally speaking, people are out there to help. So if there are families that are in those sorts of situations and are putting off, like you say, Ranish, like putting off talking about it, it's not going to be an issue. It just needs to be something that needs to find a solution. And that's where all these professionals are to help.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking about some of the kind of common issues, and I'm sure that there'll be lots of things that we'll talk about this evening where people can relate to a lot of the topics that we're talking about. We'll continue the discussion next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about financial well-being with Ranish, who is the founder of Money Heave, and John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. So we briefly just touched on the fact that the cost of living crisis is still here, and actually it still does really affect everybody. Why, John, does it seem to affect other people more than others, with them being able to navigate their way through it?
Yeah, it's a challenging time for everybody. Some people are in better positions than others, naturally. In order to be able to deal with the changing of inflation, the rising costs of pretty much everything. But it all does come down to, as well, the decisions that we make, our past experiences. Our experiences are formed by what we experience, funnily enough. Mm. I know that's probably, I don't want to teach you psychics. But if we have been through something, we've got something within our training called a well-being wave, which are good positive experiences that we can all go through. So that could be a wedding, it could be a house move, it could be a promotion at work. But it doesn't take a lot, even for a positive experience, to think, right, I've had a promotion, I've got a bit of more money, for then someone to almost overspend and get a little bit carried away. Equally, there's more negative things, so a bereavement within the family or a close friend or something like that, that could be quite a traumatic experience. Now, the way that we all deal with trauma or any form of traumatic experience really varies. It's quite subjective. Even the definition of trauma is something that's had a significant impact on you. So that could be absolutely anything.
Yeah.
So the general trauma response, and some of our team are specifically trained in CBT-led for trauma. And the general rule of thumb is that somebody goes through a phase of avoidance, which is the first symptom of trauma. So you avoid anything that's going to remind you of that topic or that experience or that situation before eventually getting to the point where you're approaching it very steadily before then finally accepting it. So that can be a really long process. It could, for some people, take a week. It could take somebody 20 years. But I guess that's where we start seeing people, especially when it comes to a financial related issue, starting to avoid certain elements of it. So I don't know, Ranish, have you come across, do you relate to that? Have you seen people avoid things when it comes to their finances?
Yeah, absolutely.
How would that sort of play out?
Yeah, and that plays out in so many different ways, from not being able to open your letters, not being able to go to work, maybe overspending. And
so avoiding isn't necessarily just shying away from it. It could also just be not accepting that you don't have any money at the minute and continuing to live that lifestyle, because that would count as a form of avoidance, I guess.
Absolutely. But also just not even looking at your money. So they may not even know, because they haven't even checked their bank account, or they haven't looked at their numbers, or they've just not been able to deal with it.
And this is where it doesn't matter how much money you actually earn, because you know, if you're kind of keeping up with the Joneses, or even in like the realms of social media now, when you're kind of like looking at somebody spending on flashy clothing or cars or whatever, even if you've got a lot of money, you're kind of continually trying to live up to that, and you might not be checking your bank as much as you should be, in comparison to somebody who is kind of living month to month, and they're, you know, trying to just go, okay, well, I've now got £10 that I can spend on the shopping. It affects everybody in a similar way, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. And I've got a gripe with social media and marketing at the best of times. But that's certainly something that has a massive influence on what people spend their money on and the choices that they make, which, when it comes to their mental health, can be impacted. It can be convoluted or not necessarily disordered. That's probably the wrong way to put it, but it can be different. Depending on what character changes that you're going through. And if you're in that situation, I can imagine your character changes quite a lot.
Yeah, and also like the fear of missing out as well. I think that plays a big part. And also understanding that not very often do people showcase the negative parts of what's going on in their lives. It's mainly, this is going well for me. I'm here. I'll probably showcase that I'm here and it looks good on social media. But actually, this morning for me may have gone well, but actually, during my day it might have been very hectic. I'm not actually going to showcase that. So that's kind of my point of it, and especially on social media, we're not always giving a true reflection of our lifestyles. And I think if you're looking on it, you can then feel guilt, shame,
absolutely,
depressed.
Of course, and you're going, if you've got a beautiful living room, you're not going to show, oh, here's my under the stairs cupboard that's damp. You're just not going to, are you? Even though that's the thing that you need to be spending your money on, you're going to be going to the shops and getting nice things for your living room instead. So it would be great to talk more about social media, marketing. Maybe we'll do some separate shows on it, but it's certainly something that adds to the potential issues that people experience.
Definitely. And even when you were talking there, John, about that, was it the trauma response that you were talking about? And when you just said avoidance, I have a close friend who I remember she was getting such anxiety whenever the letterbox went, because she had financial difficulties. And I suppose it's all tied in with that she had anxiety, but she also had financial trouble, and she really struggled to open any of her letters, and they were just piling up and piling up and piling up.
Yeah.
And it just perpetuated the anxiety around it all.
So if people do find themselves not opening their letters or recognizing that they're doing those sorts of things, what do they need to begin to, where's their starting point?
A lot of the time, when people talk about personal finances, they think they should budget. But actually, we don't talk about the steps before getting to being able to budget. And I think it's important that when we talk about money management, it's not a simple thing as just, oh, go and track your money.
Mm-hmm.
People do go through different things. And money management, financial well-being, is more than just being able to track your money.
And I know we do have a lot of kind of great tips for people to kind of get a handle on their finances, and definitely a way of dealing with things that we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. So we'll continue the conversation next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about financial well-being, and we were talking about kind of social media and the impact that that has with everybody kind of keeping up with the Joneses and spending and all of that. And we're kind of putting a lot of the blame on the individual with the fact that they're spending all their money. But there has to be a little bit of shared responsibility, doesn't there, with some of the platforms maybe and different businesses and marketers?
Yeah, well, definitely. And we know that when we are feeling low or when we're having a bad day, we do things to make ourselves feel better. We want to encourage people to do things like go for walks and do things for yourself, or maybe even do things for others to make yourself feel better. But usually that lands on products, you know, like ordering takeaways, which if you think how much you spend on a takeaway versus your food shop, it might be pretty much the same for one meal rather than 21 throughout the week. So when it comes to those sorts of decisions, we don't want it all to be like blaming the consumer. There is a responsibility there from a marketing perspective, and impulse buys at the tills, those sorts of things. The people who are going to buy those, majority of the time, are going to be looking for some sort of thing to make themselves feel better. That's the whole point around an impulse buy. So I don't know, Renisha, if you have you come across that with marketing firms or like retailers, I think you've mentioned before as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think organizations, especially retailers, do have a duty of care, do have a responsibility to also support individuals. Obviously, part of their business is to make money and to make sales. Equally, you know, if you think of a pack of cigarettes on it, they're showcasing, not that it may stop people from buying cigarettes, but they are showcasing that if you continue this, this is what could happen. And I think retailers should do more to support people who buy on impulse, who probably are overwhelmed in debt. And it could be a simple thing as in a shop saying, you know, is this going to put you in further debt?
Or do you really need this?
Exactly. Kind of thing, yeah, absolutely. So I would love to see something like that, retailers playing a bigger role in doing that, because now we see when we go shops, you know, you can, for example, online, you know, you could buy a trousers for £20, but actually get that on a payment plan. And so there is so much.
Everything has a payment plan now, doesn't it?
Exactly. Whereas years ago, that would be insane. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot to encourage people to buy it. There seems to be a way out of no way to get something. But how about we encourage people to not get themselves in debt? Because actually, if you, one would ask, or one could question, if you need credit for £20, are you in a position to be able to
buy those trousers or whatever they are?
So, or are they still going to be £20 in a month's time when you're going to have that cash? Maybe that can go onto a list of things that, you know, a wish list that you want.
Absolutely.
Especially with Christmas just gone, like I'm a big fool basically, because I buy myself lots of things before Christmas because you get all the deals and all of that sort of stuff. But actually,
well, Black Friday beforehand, and you think, oh, this is a bargain, I'm going to get in there, but then you're not spending so much
money. You could get someone else to buy it for you for Christmas, but you're buying all your own things because it's just a deal, and it's just such an easy trap to get worked into. But I totally agree that retailers have a responsibility, but it just takes one to take that leap. Similar to one person reaching out about them being in financial issues, it takes one retailer to almost set a standard of being moral, ethical around their marketing and their impulse buying.
And you were just saying actually about for one person to speak out when they might need help or things like that. And actually I know we're going to be talking about some of the kind of practical tips, and communication as always is one of those really important things that I know we're going to be discussing, so we're going to get into that next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're joined, as always, by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Renish, who is the founder of Money Heath. So earlier on, Renish, we were talking about maybe people that really struggled to open their letters. There's that avoidance thing that John was talking about as part of the trauma response, where letters are maybe piling up and they're feeling anxious about it. If people are in that situation, then that feels quite familiar to them. What are the first stages that they might be able to go through to help get their finances back in order?
Yeah, great question. And I think something like that, if you're in that position, I would say, you know, if you have maybe a family or friend, I would say get in contact with them and just see if they would maybe even help you. Just, and when I say help, it might just be them actually just sitting down with you.
Being present.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes we just need that accountability or someone doing it with us. You know, I've gone through times where my house has just gone complete mess and I'll, you know, just ask a family friend to come round and just sit or do some cleaning with me. And it's a similar thing there.
When you say cleaning, you don't mean like with a brush and scrubber and stuff, you mean financial cleaning?
I was actually meaning
cleaning.
I suppose it's applicable in everything.
I guess so. This
you're
is
saying accountability.
Yeah,
it's like accountability, isn't it, having somebody with you?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, so I'll definitely say that as a step. If you don't have that as an option, or you're a bit, you know, just not in that space to do it with someone else, then I would just say just do one thing a day if you can. So it might be just open that one letter a day. If you need to write out something, or you just need to look at, you know, how much debt do I owe, then just get a piece of paper. You know, you don't need to get too technical and getting out Excel spreadsheets and apps on your phone. Just literally write it out. You know, if there's something really bothering you, write it down. I think that's a great place to start. But just kind of tell yourself, I just need to do one thing today. And I think when we just break it down, it just seems a little bit more manageable. Mm-hmm. And not too much pressure. But the other thing I would just kind of urge, if you can, or if you can get someone to help you, to contact your providers and just kind of communicate to them that, look, this is my situation. And I know sometimes you may call and they may not sound friendly or whatever, but someone cannot knock you for expressing where you are and saying, this is my situation. It's better that you do that than you don't do that, because sometimes it just can get too out of hand, and then maybe you have to deal with bailiffs and things like that. And sometimes when it gets to that point, it's really hard to move on. But also, if you can, if you need, you know, help right now as well, I feel like you, if you speak to your local council, there may be some other solutions. John, I don't know if you want to add any other.
Yeah, well, I've certainly been in a position before where I've avoided letters. I've had my my mum come round and help me figure out where my finances are at and that sort of thing. But because everything's so digital now, it wasn't necessarily for me. It wasn't always about not opening letters. It was about not opening my apps. So I just wouldn't look at what my bank account apps at all. Mm. So when I first did that, I found that that was a helpful step because I just knew where I was at.
Yeah.
But I would also suggest, we've got this on Evon, we've got this motivational planning tool, which is about, what is your goal to begin with? Is your goal to get out of debt? Is your goal to maybe buy a house? Is your goal to buy more things for your family, or provide them with some other different things than what you're doing now? So to establish what your goal is in the here and now is really, really important, so you know where you're working from. And then opening your apps, doing, I think you've kind of described off air, as like a financial audit of yourself.
Yep.
Figuring out where you are, it gives you an idea of what you're able to play with and what you can actually do with it. So I would certainly suggest that establishing what your goal is probably quite key, so you know what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
Knowing
where you're actually at, because like you said at the beginning, Ranish, so many people probably don't even look at their finances, and you know that, or they might look once a year, and actually it's okay, you don't need to be looking at it daily, but to have a better understanding of exactly where you're at, so you know where you're going, is really beneficial.
And I'll just add to that as well, taking it off just looking at your bank app, because it can give you a snapshot of what you have in it in your account today, but actually it doesn't give you a breakdown of how much are you totally spending on shopping, or how much are you spending on petrol. It's important to know these numbers so that you can plan for the future. You know, I hated budgeting. I hated looking at my finances at one point, but now the space I'm in, I don't actually want to make a move without looking at my numbers. I want to know roughly, what's it going to cost? What does it look like? How much am I spending? I think sometimes we just jump into budgeting, but first of all, it's important to know who am I financially? How much do I spend on shopping? What does it cost to run my car? What does it cost to run my home? And I think before you can get into budgeting, it's important to know that. And I think sometimes that's why budgeting doesn't work, because it wasn't realistic in the first place. And I remember when I was at uni, I'd say, oh, I'm going to spend £200 on food shopping or whatever. But the reality is I spent a lot more on food shopping. So I've kind of set myself up to fail already. And I think sometimes that's why we then get put off from managing our money. But I also want to say that it's a good thing. Managing your finances is there to help you to grow, to achieve your goals that you mentioned,
yeah,
John.
Absolutely. And this motivational plan thing, after you establish your goal and work through a few things, it ends with two questions. And I think that they're really key on enabling people or helping people to take that first step. And often with these things, even though it's a great thing to get to the point of where you're managing, that initial step is often seen as a negative. Mm-hmm. So the two questions are, what are the negative consequences of doing it, which might be feeling nervous about opening that banking app, seeing that you don't have as much as you might think you do. But what are the negative consequences of not doing it? Where does this get to? What could this escalate into? And once you can really sit down and think about those two things, I'm pretty sure the majority of people listening will open that app.
Brilliant. That was very impactful, John. Thank you very much. Very, very good.
There.
Yeah. I actually think a lot of people probably have. There'll be so many people listening thinking, I totally feel that. I totally relate to everything that you're saying. If people do need to get a little bit more further advice, I know we've given lots of kind of tips and practical advice there with budgeting and things like that. If people do feel like they need some help, or maybe they don't feel comfortable speaking to their friends or family, who can they reach out to?
I would, apart from Ranish, of course, I would certainly suggest the Citizens Advice Bureau, CAB. We've had them on a previous show, so you can go listen back to that. But they will literally sit down and help you do this financial audit. If you don't want to go to your friends, you haven't got somebody to come round to your house, you can go to them. They'll sit down and go through absolutely everything. I think in some circumstances, they can even contact your providers for you. Okay. The providers have something called a priority list, so they can put you onto a priority list if you're in a difficult position. And then we all know that the letters that you can get if you're running behind on payments can be really horrible.
Yeah.
And they're like standardized letters, so it's not the organization's fault. It's just, it needs to be harsh for certain circumstances, but they can communicate with you in a much more appropriate way for your situation. So CAB would be a great starting point, I think, for anybody.
Brilliant. Well, as always, so many really helpful tips and tools that we've spoken about within the Mental Health Hour this evening. We're going to be doing a bit of a summary of everything that we've discussed next. So it's been a really interesting MK Mental Health Hour tonight, talking all about financial well-being. So much information, John. If you can summarise it for us beautifully, that would be fantastic.
I can try.
Thank you very much.
I might need a big breath. People can get into different circumstances for all different types of reasons. We've covered off things like positive things like a wedding, all the way through to a bereavement that could cause some sort of a traumatic experience for people. The general trauma response initially starts by people avoiding anything that might remind them of that circumstance at all. And avoidance comes out in loads of different ways. It could be not opening letters, so letters piling up. It could be not opening your banking app. It could even be avoiding the fact that you have no money and continuing to spend as if you did. So all of these sorts of things, if anyone relates to them, the next step after avoiding is to begin to approach. So that is just taking that step to open that banking app, speak to a friend, speak to a family member, go to CAB, pick up the phone to your providers. There's a lot of things that you can do depending on how comfortable you are with each of those. But just making that start. And eventually, going through and certainly with Ranish's tips, trying to do a bit of a financial audit, trying to figure out where you're at, understanding what your goal is in doing all of this as well, and eventually asking yourself to get started, what are the negative consequences of doing it and what are the negative consequences of not doing it, and figuring out which outweighs which. And if you want to continue on the path that you're under, that's fine. People can make their own choices. But if you do want to make a change, then open the app, open your letters and start.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, John. If people want to find out more about Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, how can they do that?
Absolutely. They can head over to our website. Like we said, Yvonne's just being released. We really look for some people to test out and to give us some feedback. So that would be great to hear from some people. So it's arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. And Ranish, founder of Money Heath, thank you so much for your time this evening.
It's been
really
welcome.
So fascinating talking to you. And I actually think we need to get you back in to do like a proper finance show, because there's so much that we probably haven't touched on. But if people want to find out more about you and Money Heath, how can they do that?
Yeah, literally, you can visit our website, which is www.moneyheath.com. And we've got a number of different resources. So John mentioned about financial audit. So if you want specific help around that, we've got some tools on there that you can download for free, and it will just provide you with the structure and things to consider, and it literally takes less than 15 minutes. So please do check it out if you do need that. Thank you both for having me.
No, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Been brilliant. And thank you very much for listening. This has been the MK Mental Health Hour, and it will return on the first Sunday of next month. And as always, this will be podcast over on our website at mkfm.com.